Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel of Tab Computer Systems. Interact with Eric and his guest by phone at 522-WTIC or 1-800-966-WTIC. Email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com or get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here's Eric.
And good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Bob.
And we're here till 11 o'clock. Bob is Bob Shorey. He's one of the MCSCs at Tab. He comes in and helps me out with your computer problems, questions, comments, and concerns. And we got three lines all filled up. One line open for you, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. We're going to quickly go over to John because he feels he has an answer for the Wi-Fi issue, but we'll see. What do you got, John?
Oh, hi. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. Your answer for him was excellent, putting him on the 5G, but it sounds like his 5G receiver or whatever in his tablet isn't working right because it's not seeing the 5G.
Right.
And the reason why I think that he's not getting the speed out of it is because the 2.4G, if you look into the GUI on those routers,
yep,
the 2.4G only has 11 channels.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at the 5G, it has like 150 channels. And what happens is there's a whole bunch of things that interfere with that 2.4G frequency.
Sure, yep.
And if your neighbor was on the same channel with you, they can't see your stuff, but if they're on that same channel, what happens is they actually eat up part of your signal strength.
Great point.
So there's an app that you can get for free. It's a Netgear app,
yep,
that allows you to look at all the networks that are in your area.
Yep, yep.
And you can see who's on channel one, who's on channel two, and all you have to do is go into your into the GUI of your router,
right,
just move it over to a different one, and
yeah,
he'll get his full signal strength, and he'll be flying.
You know, you make some good point. I mean, again, 2.4 is about 400 megabits, and you could be correct as far as interference on that channel. But generally, I mean, just in our experience, you're going to see those issues in a more closely knit area. Now, if his home is separated by, you know, let's say,
yeah,
X number of feet, even if they are in the same channel, he's not going to necessarily bleed into each other to affect it by, you know, 400 plus megabits of performance.
I don't know why, but I've seen where you know, one of the neighbors gets dishnet, and for some reason, when that happens, the only channel that'll work, for example, is channel 9.
Okay.
So dishnet must interfere somehow with that 2.4 frequency.
Yep.
But that's just an example. I mean, and
yeah,
that would be something that you wouldn't think of because it wouldn't even show up on that Netgear test. But anyway,
no.
I just wanted to throw my two cents in.
No, great sense. I mean, good point. I mean, interference is
the
a very common issue.
The 5G works so good, even in a close-knit area, is because there's 150 channels. What are the odds? For one thing, 5G is better.
Yes.
But on top of that, what are the odds of being congested with 150 channels? You're not too likely to be on someone else's channel at the same time.
Well, defaults are pretty common. But to the other point is that the range is smaller. So if someone else is running 5G and you're 5G, your bubbles are not going to necessarily bang into each other on the same channels because you're at a distance.
Yeah. Anyway,
so, good point.
Throw my two cents in. But
thanks, John. Appreciate it.
Have a great day.
Yeah, you too. Yeah, he makes a good point as far as where else to look if you're having a problem.
That's
I
true.
Didn't even think of that. They could just have bad. Both of them could be on the same channel as some other neighbor.
We change the default channels all the time.
Right. Didn't even pop in my head. So good point out there. And we'll put a link to some of those tools that are out there. Ubiquiti has a free tool called Wi-Fi Man, and Netgear does as well, as he mentioned. You can actually go ahead and put it on a phone, let's say, and it'll tell you what access SSIDs are out there and what channels they're on. And you obviously would not want, well, I shouldn't say obviously, but you don't want to have your access point delivering your 2.4 gigahertz signal on the same channel as somebody else with a very powerful signal that you're seeing on that app, because they'll bang into each other. I still don't think they would affect it by, for two users from a 400 megabit potential speed down to 9, and they're getting a 60 megabit internet connection, they said. But he could be right. It could be something else interfering. So who knows? That's the fun of computers. Let's go on to Joe in Plainville. Hey, Joe.
Hey, guys. How are you doing today?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing all right. Thank you. All right. I'm trying to this is regarding a work machine, a Windows 10 machine. I don't have it in front of me because that's at my place of business.
Yeah.
I'm trying to I am the admin account on the machine, and I'm trying to add a user to be able to, so that I can log off my side and let them log in and do their work. So I've created an account for them, and when I sign off or go to switch the user, it keeps me on the login screen, but in the lower left-hand corner of the login screen, it says other users. So, or other, I forget what it says. Like I say, I don't have the machine in front of me.
Mm-hmm.
But I click on it, and what it's giving me is it says other, and it gives me the window the field to add the email address and then the password. Well, when I created the user, there was no option to add an email address. It just said, you know, you can enter in the name. And I did this through, you go into accounts, and then it says other users, and you add a user, and it did. It added the users, but I can't see it. I can't, because it didn't give me an option to add an email address, just a name. So this is driving me crazy, because this person can't do their job, because
yeah.
I can't switch the user.
Yeah, Bob has an idea for you.
Well, first of all, you went in through control panel, and you went in through users, okay? So if you go to this PC instead, mm-hmm. which may not be on your desktop, you may have to open a browser and then right-click on your computer where it says this PC. And instead of choosing properties, choose manage, okay? Now, in the manage app, you'll go down, you'll see it'll say, I'm assuming that you're using Windows 10 Pro, not home.
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Yep.
So, in there, in the computer management local, you'll see local users and groups. So then go into the users and see if that user account is there. Because if it's not there, what you did was you created a user in the Microsoft Cloud.
Okay, so what I did was, in order to create the user, I went into settings and then in accounts. And there was the add a work or school account, but then I didn't do it that way because when I was looking at stuff online, I did it through you can add other users. And in there, it was really just a simplistic, and I created it as a standard user, not an admin. So... But, I mean, even if I created a user, there was no email. I did it through it said, I don't know, this person is not a Microsoft user. I don't have their email address. I did it that way. Will that still show up? And, again, can you give me where I should go again? Because I don't, like I say, without the machine in front
right.
of me, I can't.
What Bob thinks you did was you tried to set up a Windows Cloud account versus a local user account. So he'll give you the instructions. But we'll try to find a nice page for you as well to follow.
Okay.
Well, go ahead, Bob.
Yeah, you need to right-click on this PC, which if you open up Windows Explorer,
yeah,
you know, which is File Explorer or whatever you want to call it, okay, and you open it up, you'll see, you know, it'll show you, forget about Quick Access and OneDrive, this PC. You okay. right-click on this PC, assuming that you don't have a this PC icon on your desktop.
And, I don't.
And then you choose Manage, which should be... right underneath collapse. So once you choose manage, it's going to open up computer management. And you expand it under computer management, local, system tools, local users and groups. Then there's okay. users. And it'll list all of your local users that are on there.
Okay.
So mostly your guest account, your local administrator account, the original one that was with the machine, and most of the other ones will all be disabled by default. So
okay.
if you created a new local user, it should be in there.
Right.
If it's not in there,
you
created it in the cloud somewhere.
Right. It either is or it isn't. there. Yeah. So if you're saying it's not, that's our assumption, Joe. I mean, it can get confusing with Microsoft. They're really looking to try to really hook you into that cloud. So everything's going to angle that direction.
The problem with doing the cloud account is that if you don't have internet, you can't log in.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, no, I just want to be able to switch the user, you know, so that he can just log in on the same machine. But it's like I'm trying to split an atom here. I don't get it.
That's why we have a job, Joe.
Yeah, exactly. All right, guys. On Monday morning, I'll give it a shot. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. We'll try to find a good article for you, too.
Okay, sounds good. Thank you.
You got it, sir. Splitting the atom. It's not quite what we do. We're not rocket science. But it is ridiculously complicated, and it shouldn't be. I mean, the year 2019 here, adding a user to a computer really should be fairly simple. But no. Keeps us in business. Matt, do I got to take a break here? Yeah, I'm going to step out for a quick break. Get back to more of your calls. Skip, Glenn, and Tom. Hang on. This is Computer Talk. We'll be right back. We are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. We're here till 11 o'clock. Then, as you just heard, Dr. Alessi will be in with Healthy Rounds. He'll give you a second opinion on your health advice, so stick around for that. And I thank all you guys for joining us on this lovely Saturday morning. I'm going to get right to your calls, and I'm not sure we can help this person, but we will try. Glenn in West Hartford next. Hey, Glenn.
Hey, good morning. Good show today.
Oh, thanks.
So my issue is I have a MacBook, and I've got a new one. I've got an old one. Uh-huh. And I often listen to a radio station in another part of Connecticut during the week online.
Yeah.
And the streaming service that launches the show, it's something called a Lightning Stream is the product.
Okay.
And on the new Mac, what will happen is the website gets hijacked. Up comes an exact replica of a Apple website. With warnings about you've got viruses installed, there's a down clock counter counting off how much time you have to react and things like that.
Wow.
It's a phishing site.
Yeah.
And it was very, very realistic. So I shut it off, and I logged in again sometime later, and it's haphazard. Now and then it pops up. Other times it doesn't.
Yeah.
And it doesn't pop up on the older Mac, but it has an older version of the operating system.
Right.
Is that something on the streaming services side
that's
hijacking this site, or is that on my side?
It's not your streaming server. The streaming service is legitimate. The hijack site is obviously illegitimate, and you must have gone somewhere to have that delivered to your browser. It's basically the Safari browser is allowing that to happen to you. If you want it to stop happening, well, first off, clear your cache. That should take care of the hijack that's occurring on your Safari browser on your new Mac. Until you go to a site that delivers it to you again. Okay, so you got a cookie on there somewhere where you're going, and the bad guys are saying, "Oh, Glenn likes to go to this site. I'm going to deliver this malware to him to try to trick him into thinking he's infected with something."
Okay.
So if you want to prevent it in the future, configure OpenDNS.
What was it called about DNS?
You got to configure OpenDNS as far as how you browse. If you don't configure that, you're going to be susceptible to this happening again. And you're smart enough to realize it was a trick, but a lot of people would not.
Otherwise, you can log into www.sendmeyourmoney.com.
Yeah, right. Well, interestingly enough, I have Firefox on this thing also.
Yeah.
And when I use Firefox, I get no trouble.
Okay, so it's doing a better job of preventing that site from coming up because it knows it's malicious than Safari did. So clear your cache on Safari or just use Firefox. But either way, just because Firefox is better right now for this particular problem, configure OpenDNS. I know you have a Mac and everyone tells you you can't get infected, but you just illustrated how you could easily have been tricked if you were not savvy. Somebody else might not have been. Because a lot of people just think the Macs are bulletproof. So if somebody sees that scary sign, they're going to be like, oh, I am infected.
And is malware bytes for Mac of any use? Or
not really in this case.
Yeah.
Because it's just a browser hijack. Mac is pretty good about locking down the operating system, so it's just a trick. It's just a cached trick that you got from surfing somewhere else. And because of the cookie, I suspect, that somewhere else said, he's a ripe person because he uses this particular streaming service. Let's try to trick him.
It might have requested that you install an add-in, too. That may be something you want to look at.
Right, on your Safari browser. But clear,
like a flash, like Adobe Flash Player or something.
Some sort of add-in, right? Like Bob's saying, you might have downloaded or configured for another app for another site that could have delivered this to you. That's the vulnerability spot where it would have leveraged that add-in. to deliver the malware.
Add-ins add convenience, but they reduce your security.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Hey, thanks very much.
Yeah. Thanks, Glenn, for talking about it.
Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye. Yeah. You're not necessarily invulnerable if you're running a Mac. Configure OpenDNS. It's free. And technically, in this case, you're not the commodity. I don't think. And it'll give you a safer way to surf the internet. And you can even configure it to customize what you deliver to your users in your home. You know, you can actually filter out types of sites if you wanted to.
Gambling sites.
The porn sites, the obvious sites.
Home shopping sites.
All right, let's go on to Tom in Simsbury. What's going on, Tom?
Hi, I got a portable computer, HP, and I was using it last night, and the screen went dark, then the whole thing shut down.
Oh,
and now I can't turn it back on. I see the power light flashes when I hit power, but that's it. That's all I'm getting.
How old is it?
Ancient history.
Okay, so it's pretty old. So it could be the screen finally went. The backlight on the LCD could finally have gone. It could be something like that. The machine itself could have finally failed. Do you have an external monitor you could plug into the VGA port?
Oh, I can go to my brother's and borrow his, yeah.
Yeah, see if you get a display. If you do, it means the LCD is gone. And if it's ancient history, do not spend a penny on repairing it.
No. Last time I had to fix, the guy told me everything's out of date on it. So
yeah.
I just thought maybe something I could have done to get it rolling again. But.
Well, you can take the battery out, right? You can do the basics. Take the battery out, hold the power button, drain it.
Okay.
And put the battery back in, charge it up, get it connected, and see if it comes on. You could just simply also have a very dead battery, period. Are you using it plugged in or on the battery?
Oh, always plugged in. I have seldom ever used on a battery.
All right, but just recycling that part of it, taking it out, disconnecting it, pushing the power button, having it clear could do something, but I think it's finally dead.
Yeah, okay. Well, I got many years out of it. So,
good.
All right. Thank you for your help.
You got it, Tom. You got to be careful. Don't spend too much money on old machines.
Yeah.
Let's make sure they're backed up. Going to go to Skip in Colombia. What's going on, Skip?
Yeah, I have a pop-up when using Windows Explorer.
All right.
ERX03. And my Windows system's going to die and all the...
That's Internet Explorer, not Windows Explorer, correct?
Well, yeah, the...
The blue icon with the E?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's Internet Explorer. Windows Explorer is File Explorer.
Okay.
So
it's a fake error.
Yeah, I knew that.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I just want to know how to get rid of it. I search for it, and I get all these other links, and I don't know if any of them's any good.
Go to the upper right-hand corner. Choose Options, reset your computer. I mean, not your computer, your browser. Go to the place where it says Settings, Advanced, reset your browser, and then you'll have to reboot your computer. It'll reset it back to the defaults.
And then configure OpenDNS, Skip, and you won't get this issue again.
Yeah.
All right.
Keep meaning to do it. It's a Windows 7 machine, so...
Okay. Well, that'll do it. We're going to clear your browser of everything by resetting your browser, and that should take care of it.
You're going to replace it before January 14th, right?
I've been listening to your show and listen to what you guys are recommending. I got to replace two computers.
All right. Well, you're going to save the NASDAQ. We're going to step out for a break, Skip, but hopefully that helps you, all right?
Okay, thanks a lot.
You're welcome. We'll be right back. And we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Bob.
And we're here till 11 o'clock. Three lines open for you, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. Let's get right to your calls. You're nice enough to join us. We're going to go to Jim in Summers. Hey, Jim, what's up?
Hey, good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
I've got a question about OpenDNS.
Yeah.
And I know, I mean, I have it, but when you do that, is that supposed to affect every computer and tablet you have in the house?
If you configured it on your router.
I'm sorry?
If you configured it on your router, yes.
How do you do that? I know you download it onto your computer, but...
You're not downloading it. You're not downloading anything. You're downloading... Your settings you have to follow, and we've posted the instructions a few times for you. You'd go into your router configuration, and that's generally 192.168.1.1, which would be your actual gateway. Okay. Whichever your gateway IP is, you want to navigate to that through a browser, then go to the go to the DHCP settings. A DHCP server inside your router hands out the IP addresses that hand it out to all your devices that allow them to connect to the internet. So if it's handing out the IP address, you can also ask it to hand out the OpenDNS DNS servers, right? So now everybody, your friends, your neighbors, whoever comes over and connects to Jim's internet in Summers will have that service connected. And we'll put a link up there for you as well. And they're governed by your rules.
Okay.
Right? So if you don't want them to listen to country music, you can block all country music.
Will that affect streaming like on a Amazon Fire TV?
It'll make it faster.
Oh, really?
DNS is a faster DNS than the junk given to you by your internet provider. Yep.
That's not a VPN. That's something totally different, right?
Correct. It's just using a better... Think of it as your internet provider is giving you a pothole-filled, scary ride down the internet, whereas you get a nice, clean, safe ride on the HOV lane with OpenDNS.
All right. Now, does that protect you from nefarious sites?
Yes, by default.
Yeah, they put guards in front of the exits that have the nefarious sites.
You can't take a left turn onto those things. Yeah.
All right. Yeah, I installed it on my computer. I configured it up for a computer, and then I went to another computer, and I can get into everything I blocked, so I did it wrong.
So you did it wrong, right. Exactly.
Okay. All right.
So you did open...
Thank you.
You're welcome.
You did open a free account, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, okay, very good.
And then don't forget, Jimmy, you need to configure the IP updater.
Okay.
That is a little tool you have to download and configure and log in with you on a machine that's going to be readily used on your network so that every now and again when you get a new IP address from the internet provider, OpenDNS knows to set those configurations now on that new IP address.
All right. I don't know if I have a static or IP.
You don't. Okay. So go and make sure you configure the IP updater and configure your account and then configure this on your router and boom, you have now really improved your security for your home.
Okay. And you're gonna put that online so I can just follow the directions.
That's what we'll do.
All right. Awesome. Thank you. Have a great day.
Yeah, you too, Jim.
All right, bye.
Bye bye. It is too nice of a day though to be doing that today. But we have phone lines open. Feel free to get online, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. While we're waiting though, I've been meaning to bring this up on numerous shows. So I'm not a guy who buys a lot of stuff online. I think I've told you that. But we're getting into it a little more with Amazon. And so a little clicker I have for my NVD Shield runs on these two little like quarter-size batteries, right? They're these little thin little – they're like little
CR2025.
Something like that, yeah. And the darn thing died, and I was like, all right, I'm out of battery. So, I'll order on Amazon. And while I'm at it, I'll order a water filter for my refrigerator. So I go online. And they're like, we can get that to you today. Now, that's great, right? The convenience is awesome. But if you care about the environment, does it make sense for all the technology in the planet to get me 4/4 little CR batteries and a water filter delivered to my door that day? And then the next day I could have a book delivered or I could have a... Does that really seem like we're caring about the environment? The only reason I brought it up is my wife and I are also part of a community band and we're in Bristol and we're gassing up by this particular Sidco station and all these Amazon trucks are there by all these folks gassing up and you just hear them talking, oh yeah, we're here gassing up all day long. It just doesn't seem, I mean, we're like, does this seem really?
On my commute into work every morning, I count at least 6 or more those white Amazon trucks with the little numbers on them,
right?
And you can see the smiley face packages in the windows.
Yeah. So, does it make sense to you that we're doing this? Are we actually improving?
Couldn't they put them all in one truck?
Can't they? Yeah, right. I mean, literally, you could have 3 or 4 different deliveries from different people on different trucks. And again, if you believe in saving the planet, are you using these services? Facebook itself, just to run Facebook, where you post your complaints about saving the planet, uses 3.4 terawatt hours of energy just to operate Facebook.
Well, by the way, all those white trucks with the little numbers, they all have New Jersey plates.
So that's a long drive. It just doesn't seem like we're doing anything more efficiently or if we're interested in saving the planet. How can we comfortably do it? I mean, we're being told to be guilty for using a plastic straw. Yet you can have your paper straws delivered individually by some truck from Amazon. And it's not like Amazon says to you, you know what, Eric, you know, if you kind of waited and put all these together, it'd be more.
So I can sign
and
up
it's for free
for the Amazon Straw a Day program.
Right. It just doesn't seem. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know.
Instead of buying them in bulk, I can buy them one at a time.
Right. And I'm not some big tree hugger, as you probably know, but it just seems, I don't know, kind of gross, kind of icky that you can do this. And then we can talk about, you know, the fact that, you know, you can go get your food delivered to you now at the drop of a hat.
Have you ever ordered it? Well, you don't order that much, but can you imagine, like I have, you order something and you get the thing and, you know, you put the call. Then you go, oh, I forgot this one item. And you go to add it and it's a separate order. It's going to be shipped separately.
Yeah.
You know?
They don't care about the planet. Let's go on to Rich. Hey, Rich, what's up?
Hey, I'm looking at getting a new computer.
Yeah.
With all the crap with the running out on the Windows 7.
Yeah.
So I was looking at this HP.
Yep.
It's HP Home. It's got this i7 processor.
Ooh, nice.
It's got 16... gigabyte of memory.
Wow.
And a 1 terabyte hard drive with a 256 gigabyte of SSD.
Oh, my goodness.
Is that something that's pretty going to last a while? It's $800.
Good deal. It's good. That's a good
I'd
option.
I'd buy that.
Yeah, it's a good. What's the size? What's the screen size?
Oh, there's no screen with it. This is just a
Pavilion. Oh, the PC. Oh, perfect. Yeah. That should give you 6+ years of service.
Yeah, so it sounds pretty good.
It does sound good. Yeah, that sounds like a great little box.
Yeah, I don't know. I think the prices are going to go up as the end of the year comes.
I don't know what's going to happen. I mean, Microsoft has arbitrarily decided that Windows 7 needs to be replaced. So,
well, yeah. It wasn't arbitrary. They decided that five, 6 years ago.
That's arbitrary too, though. It's not it's not like there's some sort of time limit on Windows 7.
They couldn't get people to go to Vista.
Right.
So Service Pack 2, i.e. Windows 7, was the fix, and it was a great operating system. But they said in order to get people to actually trust them that it was good, they said, we'll extend support out to the year 2020.
Yeah. They could have said 2021, 2028.
Well, I'm sure people will work it like they did XP over the limit, but.
Yes, they will.
It's up to them.
Yeah, your system's not going to fail. Or it's not going to stop working. It's just not going to get service packs.
Right.
So, great little machine, Rich.
Thanks a lot.
You got it.
Bye-bye.
And speaking of that, I mean, we are in our practice, we support a lot of businesses. And, you know, they're a little cranky about having to upgrade their machines. They're working properly. You know, I've got CPA firms calling that we support and financial planners calling that we support. Hey, do I have to do this? And I just simply say this. If you have a breach because you didn't upgrade your Windows 7, what are you going to tell your customers? Sorry, we were upset about Microsoft making this arbitrary cancellation date, and we didn't do it. But yes, all your data got released.
Well, what are you going to tell, like, the authorities that, you know,
exactly.
People you got to respond to, insurance companies?
Right.
Are they going to cover you?
Right. Don't be mad at us. It sure wasn't our idea. It was Microsoft's idea to deprecate the software. And, you know, again, in some sort of defense of Microsoft, which I rarely do here, to have everybody up to speed on the latest operating systems constantly for something as old as Windows 7, we're up to Windows 10, and you already see all the problems with Windows 10. It's hard to support multiple operating systems. Then you bundle that with all your third-party applications, your ERP systems, your accounting systems, your financial planning systems, and those systems then have to be able to run on X number of operating systems, and to have programmers that can do it for all these flavors, it gets difficult, right?
So all different hardware,
all different interfaces. So, yes, it's one of those necessary evils, you know, but hopefully computerization has improved your efficiency. I'll put that in quotes. Hopefully it has. We're going to step out for a quick break. We got 4 lines wide open. So feel free to get here before the end of the show at 11 o'clock. We can take your call, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. We'll be right back. And we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. And coming up at 11 o'clock, Dr. Leslie will be in with Healthy Rounds, giving you a second opinion on your health advice. So stick around for that. Let's go right to your calls. Our resident groupie, Danny's on the line. Hey, Danny.
Hey, listen, real quick. Is it feasible or reasonable to change a battery, put a new battery in Samsung? Stop laughing.
I can't believe you have that thing still.
You're laughing.
Yeah, no, it's not feasible or reasonable.
Okay.
Sorry.
Hey, Elon Musk is having a press conference today.
Yeah, is he going to try to tweet and try to get that stock price up again like he did yesterday?
Well, yes, but...
Is the SEC going to come out after him for that, too? Hey, we might get to 100,000, or maybe we won't.
It's going
to
be about this.
It's going to be about the Starship.
Yeah, that's what Bob has. He didn't read the article this morning.
Look at some of the pictures underneath that. They've got three of the big Raptor engines underneath that.
Yeah.
And they actually have control surfaces, fins and stuff that are going to move. They're going to go up 20 miles for the first hop, and then he's going to take it orbital.
Yeah.
I saw the video on the website of the test flight.
Yeah.
Where they went up, I don't know, they probably went up a couple hundred feet and then came down and landed.
Yards, yeah.
Yeah. So, it was pretty cool.
Yeah, but this is with the three engines, and I mean, those things right. are just unbelievable. And he's got batteries up in the top, and he's got all kinds of electronics, and it's like really getting closer to the real deal.
All right, well, we all wish him the best, obviously. He's got enough of our money to do it.
I am very torn about that because I'm not a government give money to people kind of guy, but
yeah.
at least he's gotten results out of it.
Uh-huh, has he? I mean, Solar City's having issues surviving. There's investigations going on by the fact that Tesla bought it under kind of false pretenses.
Oh, you are Debbie Downer today.
Well, the thing is, I'm a fan of what he tries to do, but he does it with a lot of a subsidy money. I mean, billions and billions in subsidies. So he sure as heck better do something and make it feasible rather than, I mean, for him to say, well, we tried it. It's almost like our Department of Economic Development here with all the failures they've done loaning people money.
He wants to colonize Mars.
He has gotten much better results.
Let's go for it. So do you think he's going to hit the 100,000 cars that he tweeted, or is it another
overpromise,
underdeliver?
You know, they blew away that Porsche at Nuremberg, the new Porsche that came out, the electric car.
I heard about the speed thing, only by a few seconds. But again, who cares about how fast you can go? Can the batteries last in a police chase,
he's
or should the police officers even have a Tesla?
A million-mile battery pack pretty soon.
A million. There are already people complaining about their batteries not lasting in their short term now.
Well, that's because they're not using them properly.
Oh, they're holding it wrong.
It's user error.
They're holding it wrong, Danny, like Apple says.
Wrong.
Okay.
Oh, Debbie Downer.
No, not at all. No, not at all. But Danny, do you really believe that they should be using Teslas in police cars?
No, I don't. There is one thing, though. You know, they have so much lower maintenance and fewer parts. And, like, if you look what the city of Hartford spends on maintenance and parts and replacement stuff to keep those cars in
No, they just replace
rolling.
Them. They place them with luxury vehicles. They don't maintain them. What are you talking about, maintain them? They buy brand-new cars.
The old Ford Cruisers, not the Tahoes or whatever.
Yeah.
The VIP ones.
They'll be getting Teslas next.
Well, I hope so.
Of course you do.
Because I'm a big shareholder in Tesla.
Oh, there it is.
There it is. I'm just one of those evil
Full disclosure.
Okay, goodbye, Debbie.
All right, bye, Daddy. you know, what can I say? He's a big fan of Elon. And who can't be? I mean, Elon is a very interesting character, and he has done some great things.
He is interesting, and he is a character.
Yeah. I just hope he pays back some of the money we let him borrow or gave to him. I don't think that'll ever happen. Let's go to Charlie in Plainfield. Hey, Charlie, what's up?
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. I have a Toyota, by the way. So I can't address his issues.
All right.
Hey, quick question. I hope, and I can hang up, and you can answer it, whichever.
Okay.
I've been using Excel since 2000. And
what version?
Well, here's the question. It's multiple versions, going back to 97.
Oh boy.
Bunch of different formats. And now it's running slow as death.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's just a compatibility conflict, and I'm almost sure it is. I'm just, you know, and I've got hundreds and hundreds of these files. They're basically invoices that I've created under Excel with my business.
Okay, but the Excel file itself is a very small file, correct?
Yeah, each of the files, yeah, okay. I believe so. I'm sitting in my car, so I can't address it as to which ones are which files. There's a lot of 97 stuff.
Yeah. Are there a lot of macros in there, Charlie, where they're actually producing calculations for you?
Not very little. Math, you know, two times this, buy two of these at this price. So, you know, it's very benign sort of math, I'd say.
Okay. So then it's not working hard.
It should be. And I'll get where it'll just won't not responding. I got a lot of not responding messages back on the top of the screen.
Yeah, that's not Excel.
I think that's some other issue. It's not the Excel.
What's your guess?
Well, how old's your computer?
Probably 7 years, 6 years.
Windows 7?
No, 10.
It's 10?
Oh, it's a 7-year-old Windows 10 upgrade?
Whenever 10 first came out around that time.
So you upgraded when you got the free upgrade, and you've kept up with that.
Did I upgrade? No, the machine came with 10.
7 years ago, it did not.
Well, then 5 years ago, whenever it was. I'm trying to remember.
It's okay. We suspect it's your computer, not Excel itself.
What processor do you have?
Do you know CPU?
It's an AMD.
Okay.
And it's a dated one.
How much RAM?
Excuse me?
How much RAM? Yeah.
I'm going to say 16.
Oh, okay. It's a lot of RAM. It's probably not the program. It's probably just your machine slowing down, because you're not asking the program to do a whole lot with your invoices. It's just these little invoices with little sums on them, so they're not processing a lot of data. So it's not not the software. I think in this case it's the computer.
Okay.
You could, purchase the latest Excel to see if that is true. I'm surprised if you're running Windows 10, the old Excel shouldn't even work. So I don't think you're running Windows 10. The more we think about this, the more I think you're back on Windows 7, because you can't run Excel 97 on a Windows 10 machine, period. You can't do it.
That's what I'm on.
I believe you, but I don't believe you. I think there's some confusion here, Charlie, only because we're doing upgrades constantly for our client base, and you just can't stick the old software on the new operating system. It doesn't work that well. So,
okay. Well, I know I'm not running 7.
You're pretty sure, huh?
I'm not running XP.
Right.
Some of these files may have been created under XP, but that should have nothing to do with it.
Right.
I sold computers since 1971 as a salesman. I don't complain. I don't pretend to be super technical.
Yep.
But people I've talked to, I wouldn't be debate the issue with you, but I know I'm in 10, but it's a moot point at this point.
All right. So
you think it's the box in the processor. Well,
that's where I'm angling. It's not the Excel program's not being asked to do much. So that's where I would go.
Let me do this and then we can end this, because I know you got other guys waiting. If I took my files,
happened
over to a stick, brought them to a newer upgraded machine. I don't want to go out and buy one if I don't have to. I'm too cheap.
Yeah.
I'm like the shoemaker.
Sure.
So anyway, I'll bring it to someone else's machine. I'll load down, X number of hundreds of files. And then in your estimate, it should probably run well.
Correct, sir.
Okay.
All right.
All right. If it doesn't, I'll get back to you.
Yeah, call us on the complaint department.
There you go.
We'll refund your money.
Thanks, Charlie.
Enjoy your weekend.
Yeah, you too. Hopefully that works for him, but it's got to be his machine. We want to thank you guys for joining us on this lovely Saturday morning. We want to thank Mike G for posting everything live over to our website over at computertalkwithtab.com. It's the name of the show.com. If you follow us through Facebook at Tab Computer Systems, everything that we post will go into your news feed. And of course, if you follow us on Twitter over at Tab Computer Systems, it'll get there as well. Thank you, Matt, for producing. Dr. Alessi's up next with Healthy Rounds.
See you next week.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.